S-R-N.
Oh. Dear dream man, I interpret dreams for a beer.
Well, I don't have any beer, so I guess I'm out of luck.
I tell you what I'll do, Mr. Skeptic Man. I'll do it like Daniel in the Old Testament. I'll tell you the last dream that you had, and then I'll break down its meaning for you. And if I'm right, you owe me a beer. Okay, man?
Sure. I mean, you've obviously been blessed with supernatural gifts. What better way to use them than to fish for free beer at parties?
You had this one early this morning, in the middle of a thunderstorm. And in the dream, you were back with your girlfriend, Tina.
Whoa. How do you know that?
And you come home, and she's there with this big unken pile of dynamite and one of them cartoon plunger detonators ready to blow. And you say, what are you doing? And she says, this, and boom. Your eyes snap open. And the explosion at the end of the dream become the clap of thunder outside of your window. So tell me, man, am I close?
Holy shit. Okay. Made a lucky guess.
You see, you gotta ask yourself, man. You gotta be really brave to ask yourself the scary questions. How did your mind know, David, that the thunder was coming?
How'd you know my...
The thunder came right as she hit the detonator at the end of your dream. Your mind started the dream 30 seconds before the thunder. Now, how did the mind know that the thunder was coming? Because time is an ocean, not a garden hose. Space is a puff of smoke, a wisp of cloud. Your mind is a flying corn snake hovering through all the possibilities.
Whatever.
You want to know where your papa really was when you were in hospital with broke leg? Do you want me to tell you the name of your soulmate? Or how she'll die? You want to know when the first nuclear bomb will hit American soil? Or in which city? Hey, man! You owe me a beer, man!
Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso, episode 28?
Yeah, 28, I'm pretty sure.
Episode 28 of Cinema Crespo Diso, just want to double check that. Welcome, it is me, your host, Christopher Crespo, just chilling, film critic, writer, talk show host, I was going to say TV show host. One day, Cinema Crespo Diso
One day
will
you
be,
will be a talk show host, Chris.
One day we'll do that.
Maybe
whole
you'll be on Comedy Central.
We'll do this Siskel and Ebert thing, man.
Some random cable nonsense.
You can be my...
Do you really think we're going to hit network TV?
You're going to be my sister. Network TV. What are you, crazy? That voice is my co-host, Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going.
Oh, man. Here we go again. Another week is up and down.
Yes, sir.
Another episode of Cinema Crespo Diso. It's been kind of crazy movie-wise. Actually, we watched a bunch of movies this week.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of content for the good old Crespo Dome. But first, we're gonna do the first half of the show. As always, we got a box office review where we saw a couple of movies, but not the number one movie.
No, we did not.
And then we're going to talk about the new movies coming out for next week. Next week's show, which Juicy Cogburn will not be here for. He'll be on assignment in New York. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later.
Yeah.
Maybe not. And then, of course, the Crespo Disco. I got some pretty good tunes lined up from a pretty good movie. It's the kind of music that I the music I like.
I know the music you like.
The very airy, ethereal type of stuff. Yeah. But first, we're going to start with the old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew, Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. And here we go. So while Drew checks the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000 for this week's pick, I'll go ahead and remind people to go to chriscrespo.com for all my latest reviews, back episodes of Cinema Crespo Diesel, past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. I've been doing this for a couple years now, so tons of stuff on there. Drew's giving me a double thumbs up. What do we got, Drew?
All right, this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is Shotgun Stories.
Ooh. Oh.
Starring Michael Shannon.
Man, I'm sorry. There's something going on in the universe, man. Like, time is indeed an ocean and not a garden
hose. It is, dude.
Because this will come back later. Shotgun Stories is the first film from director Mike Nichols. No. Mike Nichols? No. Oh, man. Is it Mike Nichols? Jeff Nichols. Jeff Nichols.
It actually doesn't have the director on there.
It's Jeff Nichols. Maybe if you click on the title, it'll pop up.
Yeah, perhaps.
I'm pretty sure it's Jeff Nichols. That was his first movie. This movie he did after that was Take Shelter with Michael Shannon.
Again.
And then the movie he just did that just came out was Mud with Matthew McConaughey. And also Michael Shannon's in that as well. Shotgun Stories is kind of an old school blood feud type of movie where there's like a guy dies, right? And he has two families. He has his first wife and kid that he left. And then he has his new wife and his new kids, and everyone's all grown up, so they're all in their 20s and shit. And the dude did this all in the same town, so both these families are living in the same
sweet
town. Yeah, so they know about each other.
Awesome.
So the movie starts with this guy's funeral, and it's all about the two sets of kids just being at each other's throats and how much they hate each other.
Yeah.
I guess. Michael Shannon is the lead. He's the one that the first family.
Okay.
He's one where the dad left. And it's good. It's good stuff. I mean, it's all Shotgun Stories. It's all about, you know, blood feud and how violent will it get? How far will it go?
It'll probably go pretty far.
It's pretty
probably
good.
Get pretty violent.
Jeff Nichols is great at atmosphere and building mood and tension. That's actually produced by David Gordon Green, who he got popular by doing stoner comedies like Pineapple Express mm-hmm. and Your Highness and all that. But before he did that, he did a whole bunch of like really lyrical, almost Terrence Malick style Americana movies, you know, about like, you know, shots of trees and people.
Butterflies
and people looking whimsically off into the fields and deep
and the wind
thought,
blowing.
Wind blowing and, you know, everything's very kind of heavy and moody. Those are his first bunch of movies. Then he hard left stoner comedy. Very weird. But this guy, Jeff Nichols, they share the same sensibility. So it's pretty good stuff. Shotgun Stories. Let me write that down. Here we go. And get down to Shotgun Stories. Good pick, Drew.
Thank you.
Good job. So let's go ahead and get into the Netflix. We just did the Netflix.
It's the pick of the week, Chris. Time is an ocean. Lost in it.
I just got stuck in a loop. Let's do the box office review. We got our numbers from boxofficemojo.com. Drew, what do we got?
All right. Well, number seven this week, we have RIPD that had a weekend gross of $12.7 million. Total gross the same. Budget of $130.
R.I.P.D.
Just
indeed. R.I.P. Indeed. That's a problem when you title your movie something with death in it.
Yes.
Because when it bombs at the box office, or when it's a stinker, or both, it makes it really easy. To trash it.
Yes.
And the headlines are everywhere. R.I.P.D. equals D.O.A. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not a good opening. $12.7 million opening at number seven. There are plenty of other times of the year where if you open at 12.7, that's going to get you even like a top three.
Yeah.
Opening. So it wouldn't seem so bad. Not during the summer. There are too many movies out there. A bunch of movies came out this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So
three other movies came out this week.
So it's a number seven opening. Not too good. Ryan Reynolds plays a cop who gets killed in the line of duty. And instead of facing judgment, he gets strong-armed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Into the Rest in Peace department, which is where a bunch of...
Strong-armed by Mary Louise Parker. We saw two movies with her.
It is Mary Louise Parker weekend.
Oh, I guess it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Man, didn't even realize that.
Didn't even realize that yet. Yeah. It's pretty funny how that works out sometimes. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah. I can watch plenty of Mary Louise Parker movies. It's Men in Black meets Ghostbusters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they're a police force of dead people policing the dead.
Yes.
And it's everything you'd expect. It's for being kind of an out there premise. It's still everything you would expect.
Yeah.
There's nothing really surprising or...
Yeah, no.
You know? I think you disliked this movie more than I did.
I just think it had so much more potential.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, the whole with them, they don't look like themselves thing, that could have been taken so many different ways for so many either funny or dramatic purposes. And
could have been a lot of jokes in there.
They just completely just like went over, like they... I mean, yeah, every once in a while they would show, oh, look, he's a Chinese guy, remember?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that funny.
Oh, look, Jeff Bridges is a hot chick.
Yeah, but that funny.
Yeah, it really didn't do much with it.
Yeah.
There was that one scene where the dude, like, hit on Jeff Bridges.
That was pretty funny. And Jeff Bridges, as Yosemite Sam, basically told him that he was not a piece of meat.
Yeah.
And to treat women respectfully.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was the only time, though.
They could have done more things like that. Okay, yeah. I see that. See, all the reviews have been pretty bad. It's got a Rotten Tomato rating of, like, what?
11%.
11%, which doesn't mean it has a rating of 1 out of 10, people. A lot of people...
No.
A lot of people do this. A lot of people see, oh, it has a Rotten Tomato rating of 20%.
No, that just means that only 11% of the critics rated it favorably.
Right, so...
That means there's still 10% of the people that are like, this movie's awesome!
So, 90% of those reviews, all those bad reviews, quote bad reviews, they could all just be like, meh. It was wasted potential, like, you know.
Like what, I said.
But not really hating it, but when they're all like that, then you get
11%. I didn't necessarily hate the movie, per se.
I don't think there's anything to really hate about it.
It's
kind of forgettable.
Ryan Reynolds was pretty bland.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because, you know, I think Reynolds is great. He's a funny dude. You should be able to unleash him, you know. Unleash the potential. Unleash the Reynolds.
I mean, Jeff Bridges... pretty much stole the movie.
Yosemite Sam Bridges.
Yeah, he pretty much stole the movie.
Yeah, yeah, he was fun. He was enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I liked Yosemite Sam Bridges.
But there was a couple of chuckles, but I don't know. It
tried to be a buddy action comedy, and it really wasn't so action. I mean, it was action-y, but it wasn't necessarily, I don't know, maybe it wasn't good action. I don't know.
The CG was awful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when they went to CG, it was so obviously CG that it's the whole suspension of disbelief thing. It just gets thrown out the window. It's really hard to get wrapped up in, oh, look at him chase that video game character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kevin Bacon was all right,
I guess.
They should have had him speak German or something. I don't know. Now that I know Kevin Bacon speaks fluent German, I want all of his characters from now on to speak German at some point.
Did he learn that from the X-Men movie?
No, he's always known German.
Oh, really? X-Men, he's always been fluent?
X-Men First Class.
Just the first time they were like, hey, wait a minute, you know German? We got to use this.
That was the first time he ever got to use his German.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. So now I want him, now that I know that he does that, come on, give me something. Flavor the character somehow, because it was a pretty bland character.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty bland movie.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty bland. Pretty. It is just what it is. It's something, I don't know, if you catch it on HBO, you might be like, oh, this is a passable way.
Try not to spend any money on this movie. Your time is enough payment.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So we're both saying HBO, maybe if you catch on, like, FX with commercials.
Or whatever. Yeah, definitely. You could definitely even wait to see this on television.
Yeah, see it on TBS in, like, 2016.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Sci-Fi Channel even sooner.
2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, no rate it's making money. Yeah, probably. Probably sooner rather than later.
Exactly.
All right, so we're both not too into RIPD.
No.
We're in agreement.
Not really.
We're in agreement on that one.
It was all right. It wasn't anything worth really jumping out of your seat to go watch.
Right. All right, well, got that out of the way. Let's move on.
All right, number five this week. Well, number six was Pacific Rim.
People, go see Pacific Rim. What's wrong with you?
The movie's awesome.
All right, number five.
Number five this week was Red 2. Had a weekend gross of $18.5 million. Same as total on a budget of 84.
Fun fact of the week. Director of RIPD.
Yes.
This guy, Robert Schwentke, I can't pronounce his last name. He directed the first Red.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
And the sequel that he didn't direct did $6 million better.
And I would almost say the exact same things about Red 2 as I would RIPD. Forgettable.
Yeah.
Like now, what we saw 2 days ago, it's almost completely out of my mind. It's not like I didn't like it as I was watching it. It was entertaining. It had humor.
I enjoyed John Malkovich and Mary Louise Parker, kind of the side duo having fun.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah.
They made a good comedic duo of sorts.
And Malkovich, his character always dispensing relationship advice.
That was kind of funny throughout the movie.
That was cute.
Yeah, yeah, because you would never take relationship advice from crazy bomb-wielding John Malkovich.
It's just a cute movie. Tops, you know? It doesn't get any...
Red Mercury, dude.
Red Mercury, yeah. The MacGuffin of the movie. A nuclear device. Great, awesome. Because we haven't seen enough movies with people trying to track down a nuclear device of some sort. That hasn't been done to death. No.
Of course not.
No. Ah, forgettable movie. You know, it's... Redbox. Redbox is okay. You could spend $1.20 on it.
I mean, I guess it's fun watching old people kick ass.
It was... That novelty was more interesting the first time around.
Or how about the preview we saw in front of it with the Morgan Freeman, Robert De Niro,
Las Vegas
with
Kevin Klein, Morgan Freeman, De Niro, Kevin Klein, and Michael Douglas. Yeah, four old guys tearing it up in Vegas. That looks like a fun time.
It looks like The Hangover for old people,
for old men. Much less offensive than The Hangover.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll probably go see that.
Yeah, probably.
It's like Space Cowboys. Remember
that
one?
Oh, God.
Who was that? That was like Clint Eastwood, Robert Forster, I think, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland.
Playing old men and went and go to space.
Old men astronauts. I saw that one in theaters.
Did you now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
With my dad.
Good for you.
It was fun.
I'm sure there's a great father-son movie.
I guess so. Yeah. Where were we?
We're at number four with Grown Ups 2. Had a weekend gross of $20 million, total gross of 79.5 on a budget of 80. And on to number three this week.
All right, yeah. I mean, Adam Sandler. Another Adam Sandler movie makes $100 million.
Go figure.
What a shock. Yeah, let's just move on.
All right, number three this week, Turbo. Had a weekend gross of $21.5 million, total gross of 31.2 on a budget of 135.
Now, see, there's a kind of a misconception out there. Because of Pixar movies and some of your more successful DreamWorks and Fox animated movies, where that's the way to go. If you make an animated movie, that's where you're going to make all your money. Like, it's money in the bank, but it's really not. This cost $135 million, and how many? Is this the second week it's been out?
No, it just came out this week.
It just came out?
Yeah.
Oh, but it came out on Wednesday. That's why it has an increased gross. $31 million opening weekend. It's going to make $15 the weekend after that, like $7.5 the week after that. It's barely going to make... 80. Yeah, I don't even think it'll make 100. It might get to like 80 million here. Even if it makes a couple hundred million overseas, $135 million budget, tack on another $100 million in advertising, it's barely going to break even. It's not animation's not a guaranteed thing, you know. They can't all be Pixar.
No, well, of course not.
Or Ice Age movies, which apparently those things are now billion-dollar movies.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess Ray Romano's voice is the billion-dollar voice.
I don't even think so, because those movies now make all their money internationally. Like, the last one made, like, $650, $700 million in just international dollars. Yeah, yeah. And I think in those markets,
they dub them with their actors. With
whoever they have over there, so... Yeah, not so much Ray Romano. I don't even know who's in Turbo. Snoop Dogg.
Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
It's up against himself.
There's two Ryan Reynolds movies and two Mary Lou Parker. What a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
What a wild, wacky weekend this is. I got nothing on the Turbo.
Me neither. All right, number two this week, Despicable Me 2. Weekend gross, $25 million. Total gross, $276.15. On budget of 76, that's a cash cow.
Now, this is one of those animated ones that, yes, it is. It is a cash cow. But it only costs $76 million. If you look at the animation of Despicable Me, it's really not that great looking.
Well, it's animation. It doesn't need to be.
Well, it's its own style.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's its own thing. They're not going for Pixar levels of like hair realism and beauty and incredible lighting. They're just doing their thing, which is cool. And they kept costs down.
Obviously, it works.
It's working in this case. Definitely. And it's so weird. So, my brother's got the inside track now over at Universal Studios.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like over there hanging out with people from like LA Inc. or whatever that show is.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But he's over there a lot.
Yeah.
For some reason, at the old Universal Studios, not Islands of Adventure, but the old one, Despicable Me 2, the ride, that is consistently the one with the longest wait. Like 2-hour wait times for this 3-4 minute hunk of crap
ride.
Well,
it's because these kids just saw the movie that they love, and now they want to go on the ride.
I think parents like it, too. The first one's fun. It's okay.
I never saw it.
I saw it on DVD, and when it was over, I was like, hey, you know, that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. This one, I'll probably DVD. I don't know.
Probably the same.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care. Despicable Me.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Despicable whatever. That's what I say. That's my non-review.
That was lame.
That was pretty lame.
But all right.
It's also a non-review, so.
Number one this week.
Those are lame also.
The Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
Weekend gross, $41.5 million. Same as total.
On a budget of?
$20 million.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's what James Wan does. James Wan makes cheap horror movies. This might be his most expensive horror movie. James Wan did the first Saw. He started that cash cow.
Oh, man.
But he also got out after the first one.
That Emmer Effer.
He also most recently did Insidious, the Patrick Wilson one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they're doing a sequel to it because the first one made money.
Hey, Patrick Wilson again.
Patrick Wilson's in The Conjuring, so they're working again together. For some reason, Patrick Wilson enjoys doing the horror.
It's so weird.
He likes pretending to be scared. So we didn't see The Conjuring.
No, well, I'm not really into the whole horror thing.
Neither of us are really too much into horror. It's got to be a really good movie. But that being said, this does have some pretty good reviews. So I will be checking this out either sometime this week or next weekend. I'll probably have a review of it in episode 29.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, just from here, from what I've read, it's well done and there's a lot of tension, but it's also like mostly jump scares I'm reading.
Yeah.
And I kind of hate movies that
I'm not really into jump scares and, oh, look, something came out of the dark.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting there and it's like, oh, tension. And, oh, and something jumps out at you. Oh, my God. You know, it's, yeah.
Tension. Jump tension.
The only time I really like that is Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell, which was supposed to be like, we're going jump scare crazy. We're trying to do it in inventive ways, and we're trying to make this like a fun house horror type thing.
It totally was.
Yeah, and it was enjoyable. But when it's like the main way you do it, I don't know. But then again, the reviews are pretty good, so I will be checking out. And it's based on the couple, a real life couple, who this is what they do. They go around checking out haunted houses, and they try to exorcise demons, I guess, or debunk them.
Exorcise the demons.
Exactly. There are people that checked out the Amityville Horror House, and that woman still says that the Amityville House is like one of the scariest things ever, and she'll never go back into that home.
Sweet.
This is about another case that they did.
We should record a podcast there.
I'd be down. I think there's someone living in there.
Awesome.
I mean, it's still there. The house is still there.
Like I said.
We could at least do it from the front porch.
Or maybe the lawn or something.
The lawn until they kick us out.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm sure we're not going to be actually like let in there.
But that means that we'd have to go to Long Island. Ugh.
Sounds like a terrible idea. Never mind.
Strong Island.
Never mind.
All right, so The Conjuring, we'll be checking out eventually. Sometime. Eventually. One day.
You will.
I will. You're not going to, right?
Yeah, I don't really care.
You're not going to. All right, well. We got some new movies coming out this week. First, actually, only one movie really coming out on DVD, but I think it's a pretty good one. The latest Danny Boyle movie, Trance, with James McAvoy.
Yeah. Oh, I missed it.
Yep. He's like, he steals a painting, but he can't remember what happened to it because of an accident.
It's all about the hypnosis.
So they use hypnosis to try to get the information out of him. It's a pretty wild movie. I can already assure some of you people out there, some of you listening to this, you're going to watch this movie and the story is, it's just going to take one too many twists for you. It's just going to be a little too over the top. This is definitely a suspend your disbelief as much as possible type of story, type of plot. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But I think if you're into it, if you're into the story and the characters, when it's all said and done at the end, it's pretty satisfying how it all wraps up. And it's Danny Boyle, so he makes entertaining.
Yeah.
Even when the movie at the end isn't very good.
It's
still entertaining. It's still a Danny Boyle movie. You know, I didn't even like Slumdog Millionaire all that much, but I was entertained watching.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, Danny Boyle, Trance. That's on DVD. Check
it
out.
Very much looking forward to that.
Check that out. Drew, new movies in theaters.
I really only have one movie that anybody should really even care about this week. Yeah,
which
that's
is?
The Wolverine.
Oh, the Wolverine, you say?
Yes. With Hugh Jackman.
Oh, really? He's the Wolverine?
Yeah, dude, if you were unaware.
I was
three X-Men movies and the Wolverine Origins.
Yes, and First Class.
Yeah.
That's
he was just... Almost in there.
That makes 5 Wolverine appearances.
That is, yeah.
And this will be his 6th.
Yes, it will be.
And he's filming X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes.
That'll be 7.
That's a lot of Wolverine, man. He's a good Wolverine. I'm not going to lie.
That's a lot of Wolverines.
I think he's a little tall to be playing Wolverine, but still.
Yeah. So you got a... Is there a plot description there for the people?
Oh, yeah. It's only 2 lines, too.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic. Summoned to Japan by an old acquaintance, Wolverine becomes embroiled in a conflict that forces him to confront his own demons.
Dun, 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 dun. Bow, 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 bow. Bow. Wolverine. That was my
it's you know, it's the Wolverine in Japan.
Wolverine in Japan. What was the comic book like? Early 80s.
Early mid 80s.
I read that they've also mixed in a little bit of recent some title called All Star X Men from 2012.
If you say so.
That's what I've read. I can't personally verify it one way or the other.
I don't know anything about that.
I didn't see the script. I didn't read those comics. I haven't seen the movie.
Yep.
But that's what I've read.
Awesome.
So Wolverine goes to Japan.
Yep.
Does stuff.
Yep.
Fights ninjas.
Smokes cigars. Fights ninjas.
Drinks.
Lots of drinking.
I like his haircut this time around.
He's
a little more subdued.
In the trailer, it alludes to him losing his healing ability.
That's the crux of it, I think, right?
Because
he's all about being some sort of healing immortal.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it shows... It shows him surviving the bomb dropping of Hiroshima.
The Hiroshima bomb.
Which is... something that happened recently in comic books.
Yes.
Only like a couple of years ago did that storyline come about.
But they're still using it.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see.
I don't think they're going to go the route the comic book did, you know, showing him
with complete evisceration.
Yeah, yeah, where it's basically just Wolverine walking out with all of his skin off. Just muscles exposed.
Screaming
in agony.
No, he'll probably just be like some smoke will be rising off his shoulders. He'll be lightly singed.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, that hurts. Something like that.
Lame.
But it does have potential to be the best, the only other Wolverine movies, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which is...
God-awful.
Yeah, classic example of how to just make the worst movie ever. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Director James Mangold previously made Copland, good movie.
Yep.
Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash biopic, pretty good movie.
Yeah.
310 to Yuma, the Western, which is not bad. Had that awful ending, but yeah, wasn't bad. So he's an okay director. We'll see what he does with a comic book movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, comic book movies really aren't that good to begin with. Traditionally.
Not as bad as video game movies.
Oh,
there's still some good comic book movies out there. There are no good video game movies.
No.
None.
Zero.
Don't you be saying Mortal Kombat. I hear you out there. No.
You're wrong.
All right, well, let's get into the Crespo Disco, take a break. Shotgun Stories was a Netflix instant pick of the week from director Jeff Nichols. So this was not planned, but it's the way it's happening. The Crespo Disco, a couple songs from the Take Shelter soundtrack.
Huh, nice.
Which was his follow-up movie. So the composer, this dude, David Wingo, did the soundtrack, and it's all the type of music that I love, and it was great in the movie. I love Take Shelter. So I'm going to do a couple of tracks. It's actually going to be the very first track and then the very last one.
Sweet.
So you're going to get the range of the movie in just 4 minutes.
The Alpha and the Omega.
The Alpha and the Omega of Take Shelter in about 4 minutes. Enjoy, people. We'll be right back with the Crespo Dome.
Next week on U62. He's back. And this time, he's mad. Gandhi 2. No more Mr. Passive Resistance. He's out to kick some butt. This is one bad mother you don't want to mess with.
Don't move, slime ball.
He's a one-man wrecking crew. But he also knows how to party. Hey, Mama,
give me a steak, medium rare.
Hey, Baldy!
There is only one law. His law. Gandhi 2.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome, indeed.
That was crazy.
Thanks to Soul Brother Kevin for the awesome Welcome to the Crespo Dome intro. I'm hearing that a lot now, people.
Oh, every week?
Every week. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Time to set the mood for the Crespo Dome, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, dude. Now we're going to be assaulting your ears.
Yes. So let's get some plugs out of the way. Might as well mention that we were both on episode 17 of SBK Live.
Yes, we were.
Good times.
I was kind of impromptu. Wasn't really expecting that.
Right. But it was good that you were there.
Yeah. No, it's good for us.
Good for us. Good times. For good for them. The Crespo Dome, Cinema Crespo, invaded SBK Live, pretty
yes,
much.
Did.
Yeah, it was good times.
Yeah.
So go ahead and check that out, SBK Live episode 17 here to both of us, along with DJ Baby Lack, past and future guest of Cinema Crespo. You can also, there was another podcast I was on pretty recently called Corrupting the Kids. They're another show from the Central Florida area. They actually started around the same time as we did.
Oh, nice.
But since they do three shows a week, they're already up to like the 80s.
How do they have that kind of time?
I don't know, man. Well, their whole gimmick is that it's a family podcast.
Well, that's how they have the time.
That's how they have the time, because it's the three. There's a family of five. There's Mickey and Jackie, and they're three kids, a 13-year-old and two 18-year-olds. So they do three episodes a week, one with each kid every week. And I did episode, I was on episode 81. We talked about movies. because that's what
really?
I
really
that's what I do.
Movies.
Talk about movies. For
you,
like
you were talking about movies.
Crazy, right?
I know, it's nuts, dude.
We talk about movies for like an hour and a half too. It's good times. And a couple other things as well. HBO, Chuck Palahniuk short stories. It's a fun show. It's a fun podcast. I suggest you check them out. Check out episode 81. That's the one I was in. Twitter, Drew.
At Antihero419. Same on Instagram.
Instagram, Antihero419. People hit them up. Also, Xbox Live. If you want to play some... he's not really playing anything.
That's I was about to say things. Some game that's multiplayer that I don't own. Sure.
One day, Drew will connect with the people via Xbox, I'm sure, somehow. On Twitter, my Twitter handle is I am Chris Crespo. And the show Twitter is Crespo Diso. Because Cinema Crespo Diso doesn't fit.
Too many characters.
One too many characters. Which character is that? You or me?
I was about to say, does that mean I have to leave?
Cinema Crespo Diso on Facebook and Cinema Crespo Diso on the Instagram. Check us out there. And ChrisCrespo.com. Got reviews there. Cinema Crespo Diso back episodes, Netflix picks of the week, trailer stuff, and, you know, all sorts of shenaniganry pictures. It's a good time over at ChrisCrespo.com. All right, so here we go. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the Crespo Dome. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. One thing we're starting brand new that we're probably going to try to do almost every week, the Crespo Diso Film School.
Oh.
Which is really just an excuse for Drew and I to talk about older movies that we happen to watch.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, and it's for whatever reason, it's either movies that we want to rewatch that we haven't watched in a long time, maybe something that we've never actually really seen, because, you know, there's so many movies out there, man.
Oh, good Lord.
You know, everyone can be forgiven for not seeing a bunch of, you know, certain movies. It just happens that way sometimes. So we saw, we saw a bunch of movies this week. We watched a couple of... we're going through a little Robert Redford thing.
Yeah, we seem to be.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm kind of enjoying it. We watched All the President's Men. 70s movie. 74, I think, somewhere around there. 75.
Yeah.
Movie about Woodward and Bernstein, the reporters that broke the whole Watergate scandal and how it led all the way up
Redford
to the top.
Redford and Hoffman,
two dynamos of their time. And still, you know, great actors to this day. Dustin Hoffman, Robert Redford's still working. And that was a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, duh. It won a bunch of awards. Yeah, it's a very popular film.
It was a little slow.
Well, 70s slow. That's just the pace of 70s movies. Movies were just slower back then.
The ending was kind of funny.
Ending's interesting. It just ends with them actually writing their story. And then instead of giving you the text crawl to explain all the stuff that happened, it's all through teletype. Like, you know, the news teletype, all the headlines for the next year.
Yeah.
It was kind of an inventive way, I guess, to
go. Odd.
Odd choice, but it's memorable. I haven't seen it since then. I
haven't seen it before then either.
No one's bothered to rip it off because I guess it'd be so obvious.
Yeah.
That's from All the President's Men. Deep Throat, all that stuff, you know. Follow the Money. That's where all that was popularized.
You gotta follow the money.
So that was good stuff.
No, I enjoyed it.
Alan J. Pakula. Pakula? Pakula?
Pakula.
I don't know how to say his last name.
Is it like Bakula?
Like Bakula.
Or Dracula.
Or Blackula.
Scream, Blackula, Scream.
Scott Bakula. Alan J. Pakula directed All the President's Men, one of David Fincher's favorite directors, director that very much influenced David Fincher.
You can tell.
When you watch a movie like All the President's Men, and it's very underlit, it's very dark, a lot of browns, a lot of static shots, you can see where David Fincher got a lot of his style from.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a lot of the shots of the press room. You know, where it's like a vast press room and the low ceiling and all the desk and everything. That reminded me very much of scenes from Zodiac.
All the
San Francisco Chronicle stuff in Zodiac. Hey, that was a good one.
No, it was. It was fantastic. It was a little long.
A little long. Well, whatever. Yeah, again, 70s style. Yeah. That's what they were going to do. And along the same vein, we watched The Sting.
Which is even older.
Even older. A couple years older. Before All the President's Men. Robert Redford and Paul Newman. And it's about, you know, a bunch of con men pulling the biggest con ever against this dude played by Robert Shaw.
Yes.
Quint from Jaws. You know, I'll catch him. I'll catch him for $5,000. Skin him for $10,000. Barbecue him for $15,000. I think that's the line. That was a pretty good one, too, this thing.
Yeah, it was pretty good, yeah.
I mean, we are talking about, you know, Oscar-nominated movies that people have loved for years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like we're not breaking any news here.
No.
breaking news.
Breaking news. The Sting from the 70s was a good movie. It was good.
That's funny.
But no, but yeah. I mean, you can see where all of these heist movies and, you know, con men movies, you can see where the formula came from.
Right.
Because this is the formula.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've pretty much stuck to it ever since.
There are some heist movies before that one, like Rafifi is from the 60s, and what's this other one? Ace of Spades, I think, is another heist movie that are both, actually, coincidentally, both set in Paris, and they're both from, like, the 50s or 60s, and they have similar... It's like this. They predate The Sting a little bit, and The Sting feeds off of that, and it's really good. And yeah. It all takes place in 1930s America. And they play a lot of ragtime music from, like, the 1900s.
And for a PG movie, they say the N-word a lot.
It's 70s again.
I mean, a lot.
Again, it's a time period. It's the 70s. All they had was G, PG, and R. So if there was some cussing and some violence and some racial epithets, it would get a PG. Parental guidance suggested. They've adjusted that since then. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, both good movies. Both good Robert Redford things. I think we'll continue. See, I got the All the President's Men because I wanted to see an Alan J. Pakula movie, and then got The Sting because I wanted to watch more Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I think we might keep up the Robert Redford thing for a little while longer.
I'm okay with that.
And then we also watched Bram Stoker's, Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Wait, yes.
Which I haven't seen in forever.
Starring Keanu Reeves. Oof, as
that was a bad
the
choice.
Most terrible actor in the world.
That was a bad choice. See, I like Keanu Reeves. I like him a lot, actually, and I like him in a lot of movies, but
not this one.
He is not good.
He's pretty much static in this movie.
It's a shame. But the reason I really wanted to see this movie again, because I read about how all the special effects were done in camera.
And they definitely were.
Yeah. You know, instead of doing everything later with, you know, compositing or any...
Oh, man. No. So
we're going to put it
right down where you are, Chris.
Let's put a pin in the Dracula conversation there because it's time for some Juicer Cogman versus the world.
Oh, man.
Hashtag DCVTW. Drew.
I'm ready.
Obviously, there's no guest here, so it's just a sparring round.
So I'm just going to get whooped up on by myself.
No pressure. No pressure, buddy. This week's game, it's a throwback to a game we've played before, but slightly different. You'll see what I'm talking about immediately when I tell you the name of this game is... Sly, Snipes, or Statham?
Oh, man.
I got 10 movies here, Drew. You got to tell me whether it's a Sylvester Stallone movie, a Wesley Snipes movie, or a Jason Statham movie.
No, I think I'll do better on this one.
Okay, here we go. Number one, Nighthawks. Nighthawks.
This is going to sound horribly racist, but Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes is incorrect.
Oh.
Nighthawks is a Stallone movie from 1981.
Really?
He's a cop, and he's trying to find a serial killer. I think the serial killer is played by Rutger Hauer. Billy Dee Williams is Sylvester Stallone's partner.
Oh, man. Billy Dee Williams.
It's a kind of forgettable movie.
I never saw it.
Number two, Safe.
That's Statham.
That is Statham. Very good. He keeps some little girls safe.
Yeah, some tiny little Asian girl.
Some tiny little Asian girl. Number three, The Contractor.
That could be a Statham movie. Actually, it sounds like a ripoff of a Statham movie. It sounds like the Redbox equivalent of a Jason Statham movie.
That's funny.
The Contractor.
The Contractor.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes is correct. Good jab. Number four, The Specialist.
That's Stallone.
That is Stallone.
He's the bomb maker in that one?
Yes, and Sharon Stone's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Number five, Boiling Point.
Isn't that Stallone as well?
That is not Stallone. That is Wesley Snipes from 1991. Where he plays a cop or an ex-CIA agent trying to track down a serial killer.
All right.
Number six, War.
Statham.
That is correct. That is a couple of Statham Jet Li joints right there.
Huh.
That no one saw.
Yeah.
Number seven, Lock Up. Lock.
Pee pop there, buddy. Got your popping peas.
Popping the peas. Popping the peas.
Snipes.
Stallone.
Oh.
Stallone. It's a late 80s movie. Stallone is, he's in jail for something. Number 8, Drop Zone.
That's Snipes.
That is Snipes. And number 9, The Bank Job.
Statham.
Correct. And number 10, Blitz.
That's Statham as well.
That is Statham as well. So you got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 out of 10.
Not bad. Starting to turn around.
Well done, Drew.
Starting to turn around here.
Bonus point.
Bonus.
Name a movie with both Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes.
The Expendables 3.
No. I won't accept that answer. I will not accept that answer.
Why? It's the
because
truth.
You'll see why. Just Stallone and Snipes.
Only Stallone and Snipes, man. I should probably know this too, shouldn't I?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
John Spartan versus Simon Phoenix.
Oh, man. Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
What the hell's wrong with me?
Double bonus point.
Double bonus.
Name a movie with Wesley Snipes and Jason Statham.
What? Snipes and Statham?
That's why it's a double bonus point. It's harder.
Man, Statham had to have been really young. Maybe something... you know, I have no idea.
You wouldn't get it. It's a movie called Chaos. Chaos.
Spelled with a C or a K?
With a C. C-H-A-O-S.
Okay.
It stars both Wesley Snipes and Statham and Ryan Phillippe, where they play...
What?
They play... Two young cops and a veteran cop on the trail of a serial killer, I believe. A lot of these movies are about cops tracking down serial killers. Yeah, and that's from like 07. It's not that
weird.
Old. It's not that old. Triple bonus point!
Triple bonus!
Name a movie with Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, and Jason Statham.
The Expendables 3.
Expendables 3. That's why I couldn't accept it, because that's
okay.
All three of them.
Gotcha.
So there you go. That was your DCBTWF for the week. Good job, Drew.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll try to get you an opponent.
Good job, Drew. Good job, Drew. Good job.
We'll try to get you an actual opponent soon.
Well, it won't be next week.
It won't be next week.
Because I will be in NYC.
Might be a few weeks, actually, before we can get someone in here.
Hopefully, I'll have my review of Only God Forgives when I come back.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about that real quick before we go back to Dracula. You are going to New York City.
Yes, I am. I'm going to go up there and see our dead correspondent, Billy D. I guess I'm going to go dig up his grave and hang out with his corpse.
We're going to go make sure he's okay. Going to have to maybe file a missing persons report. He could just be missing.
Like I said, I'm going to go find his grave, dig up his corpse, and we're going to go Weekend of Bernie style,
Maybe he got kidnapped, and now he's like...
Get some voodoo hex on him or something.
Maybe they're selling him in a sex trade somewhere and you gotta go Liam Neeson and go track
him
down.
No, I've seen him. He's done Facebook posts and Twitter things. He's alive. He just doesn't care about our show anymore, I guess.
Oh, okay, so you're gonna have to go beat him up.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go show him a thing or two about a thing or two.
But while you're up there, hopefully you can catch Only God Forgives.
Yes, because it's not showing down here where we are.
Not showing here just
yet. In our
yet.
Undisclosed location.
I did hear from someone on Twitter who checked it out on the VOD and he, very disappointed, he said. He didn't like it at all.
Well, has he watched any other Nicholas Wendy?
He seems
Griffin
to be
movies.
Really into Refn movies. I think he's into them. I think he's seen older movies.
Really?
I think he's seen more than just Drive.
Interesting.
Yeah, he knows.
Because
he knows what's up.
I would understand if you've only seen Drive and you go see this movie, you'd probably be like, yeah. What in God's name did I just watch?
But then again, I think it's just so weird that it's just, I guess it's just what you're into.
Well, maybe. I like the ultra weird stuff.
Because there's still a lot of people out there that do like it, yeah. But there are a lot of people that hate it.
I like the weird.
Like they hate it, Drew.
That's fine.
So you got to go check it out and report back.
I might hate it too.
It's possible.
It might be a giant piece of garbage.
But maybe it is.
There's only one way to find out.
Empirical evidence.
Exactly. I'm going to have to go test it.
So you're going to go up there. You're going to do that. And you're going to report back with tales of the high seas of New York City and Only God Forgives.
Exactly. Well, at least that's a plan.
That is a plan.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see if you come back.
Yeah.
All right. So back to let's finish up the Dracula
yes.
conversation. It had all those cool in-camera effects. One of my favorite effects in the movie came at the very end when Dracula, he's in this huge, crazy bat form.
Yes.
Like, first off, that effect, that whatever, I think it was a person in a suit.
Dude, I think it was Mr. Oldman.
Well, maybe was it Oldman in a suit?
I think it was Gary.
Even then, like, the whole face thing,
I mean,
and it looked really good.
Even with when Dracula is, like, werewolf thing, I'm pretty
right.
sure that's Oldman in suit.
And that's some great-looking effect stuff. Like, the way they built it on him with the facial apparatus and stuff. And then there's a shot where he's, like, in his huge bat form, and Anthony Hopkins is Van Helsing.
Yes.
You know, great casting. He's got his cross, and it's like, oh, it's on fire, and he's backing up. Dracula's all scared. He goes into the shadows, so then all you see are his red eyes, and then his silhouette turns into a pile of rats.
And they just drop.
And the rats drop and scatter, and that was freaky.
Yeah,
like, that legitimately kind of creeped me out, that one moment.
I can see that.
There were some, you know, things where you can tell that they're, like, projecting images onto people's faces and onto backgrounds and stuff. And some of it looks just a little hokey. Like, oh, this here's
but
a shot of a giant
book.
It's
being done in camera.
Yeah, they did a lot of work to do all practical effects.
So. Oh.
Man, I think just for that, it's almost worth checking out. Just on that aspect. And it's a Francis Ford Coppola movie. The first 2 minutes, the story of Vlad the Impaler.
Awesome.
And how it's incredible. It's really incredible. Very high opera, very up. And then when it gets to the title card, and it's like,
it's so
being
assaulted by flames and horns.
Yeah, it's in your face. It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. I think people should give it more of a shot because it is kind of like shit on. Mostly because of
Keanu Reeves. Sucks.
Yeah.
In the movie.
He kind of sucks the life out of his scenes.
Yes, he does.
Goddamn shame. Goddamn shame. Apparently, Francis Ford Coppola only put him in the movie because he. Because
he's an acting vampire?
Yeah. No, because he felt he needed a young heartthrob to bring in the girls, to bring in that audience. You wanted to suck them in somehow.
Gary Oldman's not heartthrobby enough?
No. Especially in this movie.
Ew.
Nope. He needed that day's version of Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
The guy from Warm Bodies, you know, something like that. And then he regrets it now. He's like, yeah, that was a bad decision. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
It was a poor decision.
So that's our Crespo. So film school. Hopefully we'll be doing that more often where it's just, again, we're just going to be talking about old movies. And forgive us for missing some of them.
Yes.
Right. Movie news. I got some movie news here. This is kind of an interesting story. Let me pull it up here real quick. This is from the New York Post. NewYorkPost.com. New York Post is an awful, awful newspaper. Truly a rag. But this is a good story. Investors sue filmmaker Terrence Malick.
Saw that.
Over failure to produce the promised documentary. You saw that?
Yep.
This is by Isabel Vincent and Melissa Klein. Let me just cherry pick a couple things out of here. Famed director Terrence Malick said Voyage of Time would be his masterpiece. His investors say it was a $6 million cruise to nowhere.
Sounds about right.
So basically, Malick, who directed most recently The Tree of Life.
Which actually put me to sleep.
Which put Drew to sleep.
I can't.
And there's another movie called Two to Wonder that he did, which if The Tree of Life puts you to sleep, then Two to Wonder should put you in a coma. Because that's how much slower and more silent it is. Actually, it says here, Two to Wonder, which one critic called, quote, 2 hours of artistic torture, which is very funny.
Yeah.
So let's see here. He was going to make this movie, it was going to be a trilogy called Voyage with Time, which was going to be 2 45-minute IMAX films and then 1 feature-length movie. And it was pretty much going to be, you know, like the Dawn of Time sequence and Tree of Life.
Yeah.
It was going to be that spread over three films. It was the Dawn, the Birth of the Universe, the Dinosaurs, Life Evolving, all of that stuff. You got $6 million to do it. And all this stuff was supposed to come out by May of 2013. So he missed his deadlines.
Almost August.
He missed all his deadlines. He has nothing to show for it. And apparently in that time, he managed to shoot 4 movies because he did The Tree of Life, 2 to Wonder, and he has 2 other movies, like one that's in the can ready to come out and one that he's shooting right now with Natalie Portman. All of a sudden, this guy makes 5 movies in 30 years. All of a sudden, he makes 4 in a span of like 4 years. It's ridiculous. But now he's being sued for $6 million by people who said he didn't make squadoosh for them.
Awesome.
And also, what really signified the death of his Voyage of Time project. I got it right here. The project was such a mess that its Oscar-winning special effects artist walked off the job in November 2012.
Oh, wow.
Douglas Trumbull, who worked on the groundbreaking 2001 A Space Odyssey and Blade Runner, like this guy is the best of the best, told Malick in a letter that, quote, all the greatest special effects cannot save a film, according to court papers.
That's on record.
That's on record. Malick, 69, a Harvard-educated Rhodes Scholar, has directed only 5 films since Badlands in 1973. He shuns Hollywood, is rarely photographed, and never gives interviews. For the Voyage project, he insisted that the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific was the only place on Earth to, quote, appropriately capture the emergence of man from primates, end quote. So he was going super expensive, too, trying to shoot this stuff in the South Pacific.
He's crazy.
And now he's being sued. So,
good for him.
So there you go. If you take six... Lesson to your people. You take $6 million to make a movie.
You better make a movie.
Make that movie. Just make it. All right? And don't make four others. Because that's going to piss off your investors. So last week, we sent Drew to San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con. And we appreciate you coming back on short notice on Thursday to be on SBK Live episode 17. And then we had to ship you back out right away.
For the weekend, yeah.
Boy, did that hurt the old expense account.
Yeah, man. These things happen.
Oh, boy. That pinched our pockets, let me tell you. But we wanted to bring the finest San Diego Comic-Con coverage to the listeners of Cinema Crestwood East. So we sent our man, Drew Stacogburn, out there. Drew is back with his reporting. Drew, what do you got?
I got a little bit of some comic book movie news for us. I mean, you know, Comic-Cons, it's turned into this giant, basically just like this geek culture fest.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, comic book this. Now it's got video games and movies and TV shows.
It's everything.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's everything.
Blah.
Yep.
But I just, you know, I figured I would just talk about the movie-related stuff.
Might as well.
That was announced there.
But it's Cinema Crestwood East, so.
Gonna start off with, I'm sure everybody already knows by now. It's been all over the Twitterverse and the intertube since it came out.
I think I know where you're going.
But the Superman sequel is going to be a Superman and Batman team-up movie of sorts.
So weird.
Yeah, Henry Cavill is still Superman, and Nolan is executive producing.
Okay.
So
again.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll have that same flavor as the Batman and the Superman movies.
Right. Yeah, because they did make them. They do kind of feel like they exist in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's a cheap way to relaunch Batman, personally.
Well, they were gonna do it through Justice League of America. So.
Which is an even cheaper way.
Yeah, so I don't know. This feels weird. This feels very strange. I felt like there should be a Man of Steel 2.
As opposed to
and then maybe go with a team up.
Well, I'm just afraid that with the revealing of the Batman, it's going to overshadow the whole Superman thing. And it's supposed to be a Superman movie.
Right. Not anymore. Now it's a Superman-Batman movie. You know, they almost made a Superman-Batman movie like in 05, 06.
Really?
Before they did Superman Returns for a little while. They got as far as they had their Batman and Superman cast. A couple of Brits at that time. And I think I got the order correct. Jude Law was going to be a Superman.
What?
And Colin Farrell was penned in for Batman.
That sounds like the worst comic book movie of all time.
Well, it never happened.
Good.
I don't know if anything can get worse than Elektra. Or Spawn.
I don't know. We're going to be talking about that here in a second. Also news, Spider-Man 2.
Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Trailer's out.
Oh, really?
Well, not trailer, but...
A teaser of some sort?
Stills have come out.
What? Okay.
Have come out with...
anything promising looking?
Pictures of Electro are out.
Jamie Foxx as Electro.
As Electro.
How does he look?
He looks like Arnold as the freaking ice dude.
Really? As Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, he's all blue and his eyes are the same color as his skin.
And shaved head.
And apparently he got his superpowers by falling into a tank of electric eels.
That's awesome. That is hysterical.
So Jamie Foxx falls into pit of electric eels, comes out
goodness.
Looking like Arnold from the bad Batman movies, and he is Electro.
Oh, man.
It does not look promising, unfortunately.
Did they release any pictures of Paul Giamatti as Rhino?
I don't think so.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be just as stupid, I fear.
Shailene Woodley from The Descendants, the one who played the older daughter. Nope. You ever seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Anyway.
I know, it's me. You tell me it's really good.
And she's really good in it. She was cast as Mary Jane.
Interesting.
And all her scenes got cut.
Sweet.
So no Mary Jane in the movie.
That's fine.
Very really interesting. I wonder why they did that.
Care, per se.
About Mary Jane. As long as they kill Gwen Stacy.
As long as they kill Gwen Stacy, I'm a happy camper.
Word. work. Was it a good presentation over there at Hall H, the Spider-Man presentation?
Yeah, from what I remember, yeah.
From what you remember?
Yeah, yeah. Everything's a little foggy, you know? Yeah. Jet lag. I mean, technically, I think I'm still there, actually.
No, we had to bring you back. I know. It's still, we had to miss the last day.
Do a little time travel.
So what else we got going on over there at the Comic-Con?
Also, the Avengers 2 movie has a new title.
Avengers 2, The Happening.
No.
The Reckoning.
Avengers.
Avengering.
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron.
I'm not sure if you're... Ultron is a cybernetic villain.
Is that a giant plant? A planet? No, I'm thinking of Transformers.
Yes, no. This is a... He kind of looks like a robot demon.
Okay. Robot
demon. And he's cybernetic. And he's a bad guy.
Okay, so then they're going. So that's gonna be the bad guy for Avengers 2.
Obviously, yes, the bad guy.
So that means then they're going Thanos for sure for Guardians of the Galaxy, and exactly. They're not gonna use Thanos in Avengers 2.
Well, of course not, because they have to use Thanos for either Avengers 3 or the Infinity Gauntlet movie when that comes out in like 2018.
So Thanos has to start with
the Cogburn prediction.
Very good.
Infinity Gauntlet movie 2018.
All right, very good. I like that. Yeah. Noted, people.
Well, I mean, they're... No,
write it down, nerds!
Everything that I've been seeing has been, you know, amping up to this. They're redoing Fantastic Four. Uh-huh. Guardians of the Galaxy takes the Marvel Universe into space.
Right.
They've got...
Well, Fox is redoing Fantastic Four, though.
Still, regardless.
But they did... Marvel did get back Silver Surfer.
Exactly. So yeah. Marvel got back Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer's big in the Marvel space lore.
He's a key to that.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. You know, the introduction of Thanos. Mm-hmm. I just read in the comic books here. Apparently, they've got a new miniseries coming out called Infinity, where Thanos is hunting the Infinity Gems again to reassemble the Infinity Gauntlet.
So they're bringing back more Thanos in popular culture to get it ready for movie stuff.
Everything that I'm seeing is pointing towards an Infinity Gauntlet movie here, you know, in like 5-10 years.
You already said 2018.
Yeah.
So that's five years. 5 years.
So...
I said, write it down, nerds.
It's going to be a Marvel space epic of sorts.
Yeah, that's where they're going.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy if they ever do it. But it could also be absolutely horrible because it's a very long, convoluted storyline to try to put into a two-hour movie.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, right?
Yeah.
That worked out really well for Dark Phoenix Saga.
Oh, that was. I remember talking about that. Anyway.
Moving on.
Godzilla teaser.
Yes. The teaser?
Well... Little bit of footage. Is that
Yeah. Oh, I gotta check
little
that
bit,
out.
Little bit.
I'm excited for that. I love Godzilla. It's fun times, good times.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's on the inner tubes, but they were showing little bits and pieces at Comic-Con.
That stuff usually releases.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Exactly. You know, like pictures of his foot.
Nice.
Amongst a group of people.
It's like, giant foot.
Also news for all of you video game dorks out there.
Heads up.
Lionsgate is teaming up with the director of Moon and Source Code, Duncan Jones.
Yes, son of David Bowie.
They're teaming up to make a Warcraft movie. Announced at Comic-Con.
Huh.
Yes, the famed video game franchise Warcraft, known for Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3... probably most known for World of Warcraft.
Right.
They're trying to come up with some sort of plot line to throw into this universe and make a movie out of it.
See, now I'm just going to go ahead and say right now, I hope this project falls apart and falls apart soon. I hope Duncan Jones doesn't waste much time on it. Duncan Jones, between Moon and Source Code, he's one of my, favorite new directors.
Yeah.
He's an exciting director to watch at this time.
Crazy sci-fi stuff.
So... to see him do a video game movie, we already talked about how the track record for video game
movies is horrid.
It's absolutely abysmal. I don't see why this is going to be any different.
Well, this has...
I mean, they have
a little more leeway in this.
Because it's so big. Warcraft is such a big thing.
It's just open. You know, Warcraft is an RTS, real-time strategy. Yeah. So there isn't... I mean, there is kind of a story.
There's just a world and rules, and then you make up your own story as you...
I mean, in Warcraft 2, there is, if you play as the humans, you're trying to, stop the orcs from opening a portal. That brings more orcs in.
Oh, okay.
or
that sounds like
or if you play as the orcs, you know, you're trying to blah blah blah, whatever. And the third one, I don't even remember. In World of Warcraft, you know, it's MMORPG. There's no real story there. You're just going on quests.
It's a MMORP.
Yeah. So there's a lot of room for story here. Like, if there's an original story that they could base in this universe, it could come out pretty good. Or they could just try to throw in, you know, characters from this and just be like, oh, we gotta have minotaurs, and oh, we gotta have trolls, and they're gonna say something funny, and sheep are gonna explode, because they did in the second one, and yeah, in the second Warcraft, I'm not sure if anybody knows, you probably do if you're a nerd like me, but there are sheep in the game,
yeah,
right? And you just kind of kill them or let them sit there. They really don't serve a purpose.
Uh-huh.
But if you click on them, I think it's like either 50 or 100 times, they explode.
So stupid. My God.
But it's great because, you know, they're like three sheep next to one of your enemy's, you know, factories or whatever. And you click on it 50 times and it explodes and it does some damage.
All right.
Got some little walk-around bombs in this game.
Suicidal sheep?
Yeah, dude.
Suicide
awesome.
Bomber sheep.
They go, man, and they explode.
Well, all right. I hope it's going to be good, because I want to see a good Duncan Jones movie.
Yeah, I hope it's not. Also, movie news.
Okay.
DC announced that they're going to have a Flash movie coming out.
Flash!
No. Not Flash Gordon.
Oh.
We're talking Flash, the DC comic book character.
Oh.
You know, the one that runs real fast.
Oh, yeah.
The one that Superman looks at and says, so you move pretty fast, right? And Flash is like, yeah. And Superman's like, well, I can do that too.
Superman's like, well, by the time you answer that question, I went around the world 5 times and saved 4 villages.
Exactly. And Flash just kind of looks and goes, oh.
Wah, wah. So they're going to make a Flash movie.
Yeah, before the JLA movie. DC's taking the other route.
Okay, so they're going to try to make individual movies.
They're making individual movies to build it up into JLA as opposed to making an Avengers movie and then branching off.
So did they just announce Flash movie, or do they have any details at all?
They just announced it. That's all I got. All
right.
It's coming out. It'll be out before the JLA movie.
Okay.
So it's going to be Superman.
Superman, Batman movie.
Yeah,
Flash
Superman,
movie.
Batman, Flash, then JLA.
Okay, so they're starting to build a roadmap.
Exactly.
Okay.
Also coming out, the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy was at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Did you get to meet any of them?
No.
Did you meet Chris Pratt?
I saw Chris Pratt, and he's freaking huge.
He's ripped now.
Yep.
That fat doughboy, he's like freaking, he looks like Leonidas.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy.
Well, and he's playing a superhero.
Yeah.
So he's got to look the part.
Guardians of the Galaxy. This one with a talking raccoon, and yep, it's in outer space.
Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah. It's got a weird cast.
I can't believe Benicio's going to be in a freaking comic book movie.
Dude needs money.
Well, everybody needs money.
It's directed by James Gunn, who did Super, that weird little comic book movie that cost like $2 million to make or something like that.
It was a strange one.
And what else did he do? Slither was his first movie. It's a pretty good little horror movie.
Yeah, that was odd too.
This is going to be...
It's going to be a really weird movie, dude.
This is Marvel's biggest risk so far as the film, because it's so strange and it's going to have weird characters and it's not very recognizable. People don't know what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
But they have to get Marvel into space somehow.
They have to get Marvel into space, and it's going to cost them a ton of money, and it's... I got a good chance of being their first outright bomb.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Their first financial failure.
This thing could bomb in so many... I mean, come on. Talking raccoon? Seriously, guys.
So weird.
Seriously.
He does have a rocket launcher, though, right?
I know.
That's cool. That's pretty cool. So, is that what you got for the San Diego Comic-Con news?
No, also...
Okay.
Showing little bits and pieces of the new Captain America 2.
Oh, Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. We all those 70s movies we've been watching, I've been reading that Captain America Winter Soldier is supposed to be all 1970s political thriller style.
In fact, so much that our good buddy Mr. Redford plays a top S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Oh, there we go. I'll reference it. We got to
bring it a full circle.
Got to recognize.
Bring it a full circle. And that's all the movie news from.
Very nice. Well, awesome. I that was obviously well worth the $2,000 in flights and booking and hotel stays.
Wait a minute. You booked a hotel? I slept on the sidewalk, bro.
Did you? Well, then who used the hotel?
Right? Wasn't me.
I don't know, man. We got an expense.
Nobody told me that I had a hotel.
I'm just saying we got an expense report here that we're going to have to sit down and talk about, because there's some light items on here. I don't know, man. I don't know. $2,000 for steak? I don't know. We got to talk about
that. Okay, that was totally me.
We got to talk about
that. Yeah, that was totally... I definitely that was totally me. But I didn't stay in a hotel. That wasn't my charge, bro. I slept on the sidewalk.
All right, we're gonna have to talk to our travel agent.
I found
about
a nice band of Ewoks
we're gonna
that
have
took
to,
me in.
We're gonna have to talk to Rhonda about that one because someone owes me for hotel stay that wasn't used apparently. Movie review real quick. We saw Indie Game the Movie.
Yes.
I want to bring that up because it was recommended by a couple people on Twitter and then also by our friend Aaron D. King.
Oh, Mr. King.
I remember a while ago.
Ron B. Long Beach Englewood.
Ron B. Long Beach Englewood a long time ago recommended that we check out Indie Game. Finally watch it. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Documentary about three different independent game developers and their trials and tribulations as they release their games. It's funny. There's one team of two people, and then another person has another game, and then a third person has a third game. The two individuals, both annoying as hell.
Oh yes,
I
totally egocentric.
Egocentric. I hated them as people.
And then
their art was great. Their art was beautiful.
Their video games looked the best.
And they said some things. They're like, oh, you know, they have some interesting viewpoints, and yeah, and their games didn't look. Those two did have the best looking, most unique looking games. And then of the other team, the two people, the two nerds and the skinny nerdo, I only liked fat nerdo.
Well, yeah. He was the most personable.
Yeah, he was the only one that was like cool and
a regular guy.
He seemed like a regular guy. Skinny nerdo was like super neurotic and he couldn't enjoy any success at all. And all he was just constantly freaking out. And
yeah.
It's like, dude, you got a successful thing here. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
The other guy's enjoying it. He's enjoying it so much he was crying.
Those guys never have to work a day again in their life.
They don't have to. No, because they're millionaires now.
Yeah.
Lucky them. Why don't we start up? Why don't we?
I can't write code.
Oh, yeah. Code. Yeah. So it's a good movie. It's well done. You know, it gets into their lives. It's a niche little, you know, world, which is cool when you get to examine it and blow it up.
I'm not going to lie. Being a video game fan, actually...
Made you want to get those games?
I think when we're done recording this, I'm going to hop on Xbox Live and download Fez. Because I just kind of want to veg out.
That's the one game I really wanted to play.
Yeah.
That they showed.
Exactly.
And that was the guy that I liked the least.
Yes.
That French-Canadian guy. Phil Coke or whatever his name was.
He kept talking in French, too, to his little buddy.
His friend, Renault. It couldn't be Renault.
Nope.
It's always Renault.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
They're French. Canadian.
And
they're Quebecois.
Much love to our listeners up in Toronto.
Yes. Sorry for making fun of you, eh?
No, we're talking about French Canadians. Toronto's cool.
Like I said, the Quebecois.
Toronto's not in the French Canada.
Not in French Canada?
No. No, that's why they're cool.
So if they're Canadians...
That's why Toronto's cool, man.
They're from Canada, right?
Oh, yeah.
Canadians.
Yeah, they're still Canadians. Canadians.
They're from Canada.
So Indie Game, it's on a Netflix instant. That's definitely one that you can recommend. Almost like a bonus Netflix.
Oh, definitely. It's totally worth watching. Especially if you're into video games and like the inner workings of maybe the independent games and how it all goes down.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much just a bunch of dorks sitting in front of computer screens.
Stressing out.
Yep.
Eating Cheetos.
Freaking the hell out.
Okay, so I got a couple of questions here. Got a question here from on Twitter, at Mike7Deuce.
Oh, Mr. Mike7Deuce, my fan.
We enjoy that guy.
My only fan.
He wants to know if... He says, y'all fans of Dodge Challengers?
I like the body style, not gonna lie. I like the way they look.
I like 70s Challengers.
Yes.
Wasn't...
Even the new ones. The new ones look good, too.
Dukes of Hazzard. Was it generally a Challenger?
I have no idea.
I know they used Dodge Challenger in the movie Vanishing Point, which was an awesome car movie from the 70s. I think they also used one in Two Lane Blacktop, both seminal 70s car movies. And when Big Mike was here, we gave him a... The Hot Wheels was a 71 Dodge Challenger. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he's asking for fans of Dodge Challengers.
Perhaps.
Let me see. I got another question here very recently from... what's his name? At Crazy Loco _.
What's his name?
Crazy Loco _. His name is Luis Modesto. If I know that for a fact. See, all I got to do is find it, though. Because a lot of people be asking me stuff.
Really? You lost his question?
I think I did.
We'll just have to blame Rhonda again.
Did he delete it?
Freaking Rhonda.
Rhonda!
Seriously, messing up our questions, charging up our charge cards.
Rhonda! Or did he ask it here? Oh, here we go, because he asked it to the Crespo Diesel account. Who would win in the Crespo Dome between the Predator or the Terminator from T3, parentheses, the Lady Terminator? That's the Terminatrix. So, Crespo Dome battle. Seriously, Terminatrix. Predator versus Terminatrix.
Never saw that Terminator, actually.
It's
the only one of the series that I haven't seen.
It's better than Terminator Salvation.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Maybe I should watch it then.
It's definitely better than that one. I'm gonna just say Terminator because Predator's flesh, even flesh if it's alien
bone.
Flesh,
weak flesh and bone.
He's still weak, soft, moist, wet flesh and bone that can be destroyed by a robot.
But I think the Predator can act better than that chick did.
What was her name? She's just been in a bunch of Uwe Boll movies after that.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Case and point.
Predator, better actor. Terminatrix wins. CrazyLoca_ has a follow-up question. What's a good cheer-me-up movie?
That depends on what type of things cheer you up.
That doesn't help. That's not what he's asking.
I mean, depending on my mood.
Well, what's a good cheer-me-up movie for you? If you wanted to watch a movie to cheer you up, Drew.
Well, it all depends on what I'm being cheered up from.
You're being cheered up from being viciously dumped by your girlfriend of a very long time.
I'm going to watch something horribly violent.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm talking like Rambo style violence here. Like, no,
that's very telling, Drew.
like the new Rambo style. Like, I'm talking like millions of brown people are going to die in this movie that I'm about to watch.
You gotta be brown.
Well, you know,
they are all brown
and
Rambo.
If they're brown and pedophiles, I mean,
they are all brown pedophiles.
and they made that point abruptly clear.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, the brown pedophiles, they need to die. I Heart Huckabees. It's a nice uplifting movie for me.
Okay, nothingness, somethingness.
Yeah, it makes
John Bryan score.
Exactly. Makes me feel all warm and gooey inside.
See, yeah. If I wanted to watch a movie to cheer me up, I would go the opposite route. I don't watch anything happy-go-lucky to make me feel better. I'll try to watch something that's on my wavelength. You know, so if I'm feeling kind of weird or morose or something, I might watch like Soderbergh's Solaris.
Ah, Solaris.
You know, The Fountain, Aronofsky's The Fountain. Something that's going to make me think and, you know, be like, oh, well, other people are on my wavelength as well. And at the end, it's kind of a cathartic release.
I Heart Huckabees
is kind
of the same way.
I Heart Huckabees does when it gets into the nothingness of everything.
Yes.
It does have
and
that.
And the somethingness.
Well, the somethingness is the positive. And the nothingness is the negative.
Tiny little cracks, tiny little pieces, tiny little cracks, even tinier pieces, even tinier cracks.
Yeah, but those get tinier and smaller and tinier and smaller.
And to the point where you don't know where my nose ends and the universe begins.
So those are our cheer me up movies. For Drew, it's something like I Heart Huckabees or something
or,
very,
or
very
something
violent.
Horribly violent.
And for me, it's something depressing will pick me up. Don't ask why.
Right.
That's just the way it is. At Mr. Natathon wants us to do a Crespodome battle. Helen Mirren versus Meryl Streep.
Ooh, okay.
So Helen Mirren, we just saw in Red 2. She was also in Red.
Has she been knighted by the Queen?
She is Dame Helen Mirren, I believe.
Well.
And Meryl Streep's an American, so.
She can't be
if Meryl Streep was
Oh, she would
English,
totally been knighted.
She would be a dame. She would be a dame. Let's see. First, as actresses. I mean, Streep. I mean, I don't know.
I know.
Most nominated actress
Good
ever.
Lord.
She's won 3 Academy Awards. Helen Mirren has her own share of awards. She won for The Queen about 6 years ago, I'd say 6 or 7 years ago. They're both great.
They are.
I'm going to go with, for actor, I'm just going to have to say Meryl Streep. Just because, I don't know.
Most nominated of all time.
Most nominated. She's got the accolades to back it up. She's great. She's Meryl Streep. Everyone knows Meryl Streep.
Exactly. She's Meryl Streep.
So you're going to agree on that one?
Yes.
How about in a fight?
I'm going Helen Mirren all the way.
She seems like a tougher broad.
Well, it just seems... Well, maybe it's just because I've been seeing her in these Red movies.
She does action movies.
She does action movies. And she's a... Meat. She's a bad bitch in these movies,
yeah,
dude.
She seems like she can hold it down.
That's what I'm saying.
She'll chop you in the throat.
Oh, easily.
Shoot you with a sniper rifle.
Not even care. Yeah.
She'll be like, you're hurting me now. I think we're in agreement.
Yes.
Meryl Streep, better actress.
Helen Mirren would totally whoop her ass, though.
Got Helen Mirren in a fight. And let's see here. We got one more question from Billy D.
Oh,
Billy D
Zombie
back.
Billy D, back from the dead.
He starts, I think I missed a week. How dare I? Busy up here in the Big Rotten Apple. My question is, why the Pacific Rim backlash/hate?
I have no idea.
I don't get it either.
I mean, I
people are disliking it.
I, you know, it might just be over people's heads.
Maybe they're just not into monster movies.
Maybe just not into
So they're just not
going to
be into this monster movie. You know?
Well, I mean, it is kind of a weird monster movie, too.
For being a mainstream blockbuster movie, it is weird. It's weird as hell.
Yeah.
The whole drifting thing is weird. We're going to get into, alien body parts.
Seriously, that probably puts a lot of people off, the whole drifting thing, because that's a really high concept.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to share memories, and all their memories are linked together now, and compatibility and all that stuff. I don't know, man. It still seems like, even with the weirdness and the weird little jokes, it still seems like it's very mainstream and people should enjoy it. Because if they go see Transformers movies and all these other really loud action movies...
Yeah, then why? Seriously,
why hate on this one?
If the Transformers movies are making so much money, I don't see why Pacific Rim shouldn't be on par. Because it is just as good, if not better.
Yeah. Better.
Actually, totally better. What am I talking about? It's infinitely better.
Definitely better. Yeah, I don't know. Wish we had answers for you, Billy D, but we don't. Not that one.
People just aren't... maybe it's too arty. Is that what it is?
Maybe. It's pretty, too, at times. When they're fighting in downtown Hong Kong, and it's all the neons and everything.
Dude, I think it's pretty when it just shows them inside the robots with all the weird glowy Tron stuff everywhere.
It's really cool looking.
Man, it's just... Oh. Man, I like it.
People, go see Pacific Rim already.
Seriously.
Special bonus makeup question.
Bonus.
Crespo Dome battle. Nicholas Winding Refn versus Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, man. Talk about the battle of the arty fucks.
Battle of arty directors. We're obviously going to have to amend this because neither of them are actors. So which one is a better director? Nicholas Winding Refn or Paul Thomas Anderson?
Ooh.
Winding Refn. Let's see. His filmography includes...
I guess
includes,
that really all depends on your taste.
It depends on your taste. His filmography includes the Pusher movies, which are Danish crime movies. Bronson, the great Bronson with
awesome.
Tom Hardy. Valhalla Rising with Mads Mikkelsen, the Crusades movie, sort of Crusadish movie.
Yeah.
There's actually not a second of Crusades in there, just Crusaders, just Lost Crusaders. Then Drive, obviously. Nice. And then Only God Forgives, which we haven't seen yet. Then you got Paul Thomas Anderson, who, buddy.
Wow.
Heart 8, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, The Master, There Will Be Blood. I mean, I love Nicholas Winding Refn, but
so
not even close.
And I love Drive.
I don't think it's close.
No, it's not even a battle.
I don't even think Winding Refn's best movie is as good as PTA's worst movie. Because, I mean, what would his worst movie be? For me, personally, it might be Magnolia, just because, I don't know, for a lot of people, that movie really comes together. For me, it doesn't so much. So it's... I would still rather watch that than watch Drive, because it's so epic and so well made, and it's P.T. Anderson, and there's so much in there. That's a movie that can be watched over and over. Drive is a cheer me up movie.
Yeah, definitely. Drive is definitely a cheer me up movie.
Drive is like, I need to feel good.
Yeah, that is horribly violent and kind of depressing.
But got coolness going on.
Oh, so much coolness going on.
So, yeah. Great score, great music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, PTA wins all the time.
I would go PTA.
All the way through.
I mean, There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, seriously. Ugh. I drink your milkshake, bro.
Give me the blood.
I drink your milkshake.
All right, so he's a better actor. In a fight, P.T. Anderson versus Nicholas Winding Refn. That's funny because PTA is just, you know, some skinny 40-year-old white guy who grew up in the art community in California, and Nicholas Winding Refn is a pasty, four-eyed white dude from Denmark.
Yeah, from Denmark. Pretty much the same guy, just from Denmark.
I'm going to have to go with PTA just because he's not wearing eyeglasses.
Ooh, you see, I was going to go with Nicholas Winding Refn just because he comes from a very cold, harsh place.
okay.
You know, he might be, he's probably more, he's probably a little tougher on the inside.
I like that.
You know?
I like that reasoning. All right, so we're going to differ on that one, but that was a good answer. So thank you, Billy D, for the two questions. We appreciate it. That brings us to the end of the show. This is a pretty good one. I think I had fun. You had fun?
No, I had fun. It was fantastic.
Welcome back from San Diego.
Yeah.
Now we're going to send you to
New
York.
And now I'm going to New York.
Yep.
Man, so much traveling.
A lot of traveling, hey. That's the Cinema Crespo lifestyle,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Soon after that, I'll be going on a little trip of my own, but we'll talk about that then.
Yes, sir.
We'll worry about that when that time comes. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. Remember, you can check us out on iTunes if you haven't already. Rate us, review us.
Stitcher.
Please, 5 stars on iTunes. Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher Radio. Aircheck.us.
www.aircheck.us. Tons of shows. If you want to hear some, there's some Christian talk on there. There's Bill Ward's Top 50, the drummer from Black Sabbath.
Nice.
He has his own little music show on that they have on. It's a lot of stuff on AirCheck. So we're everywhere. Cinema Crespity. So just check us out. ChrisCrespo.com. That's the official third time that I mentioned it.
ChrisCrespo.com.
Oh, you blew it. That's four.
ChrisCrespo.com.
And that's it. We'll be back with episode 29 next week. I'm going to have a special guest co-host.
It won't be me because I'll be in NYC hanging out with Billy D. Wow, that all rhymed.
That was some Chris poetry
right there.
We'll leave you with that little bit of Chris poetry. Thanks a lot, guys.